Welcome to the C3 Oxford Falls podcast. For more information about our church, please visit myc3church.net. Wherever you are listening from right now, get ready to receive as God has a word just for you.
Well, I'm excited about this series that we're starting off on called The Stories of Jesus, which is another way of saying the parables of Jesus. He spoke in parables often because it was a supernatural, if you like, a spiritual way of conveying a truth that people who wanted God in their life could hear it. People who weren't interested would not understand a bar of it. They would find it too complex, too complicated. And so it was a kind of like a veiled way of conveying truth into people's lives. And when people could understand them, they said, yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, when people are saying one thing, but they're actually saying another, that was Jesus in these stories. He was going at a deeper level into people's hearts. Mark 4, verse 2 to 20. Now, the parable of the seed and the sower is mentioned three times in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and there in Mark 4. And so it's an important parable. Not all the parables are repeated that many times. Very few are. And so this is a key parable. In fact, verse 13 says that if you don't understand this parable, how are you ever going to understand all the other parables? So this is the first parable we're taking on board because it's like a key in the lock to understanding the ways of God and the way he does things on earth. And one of the things that is most important to understand is that God always works through the seed principle. The seed principle is how he accomplishes anything. You might want a tree, but God gives you a seed. God wanted a human being, but he starts with a seed, and here you are. A seed that nobody could even see with their naked eye. It is impossible. It is that small. But he has coded the seed. He's got a code inside the seed that is going to gradually grow into being who you are today. The color of your eyes, the length of your nose. Some of you wanted a different order on that one, but you know, you've still got heaven, amen, and you got all the way you are was pre-coded because God said, I love this person and I want a unique individual like that. And so a unique seed, that's where you came from. And that is exactly the way that God does everything. It starts with a seed. So never despise the day of small beginnings. That's what the prophet says, because that is a seed of things that are to come. And it might, whenever I've seen something start really big, I'm scratching my head because I know that everything I've seen that really goes well starts from a seed that's got that genetic code in it right from day one. And that seed will fall into the ground and die. You'll find that even the vision you have will fall into the ground, sometimes disappear from view and almost go away. Chris and I, coming to Sydney, had a vision for this in 1972. We didn't get there until 1980, but that vision fell into the ground and it died. When it came, started coming up, we weren't even interested in it anymore. We said, we're not sure. But then God said, yeah, it's your time now. We're coming out of the ground. We've been going down. Now we're going to go up. I mean, most of us, when we get in the ground, we want to get up out of this. But you know, you got this other thing going down. It's called the root. And you said, no, 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 up, up, up. It said, no, 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 we get some roots down here. You're going to bear fruit up there, and it's going to last you a long time. So never despise those days when you feel like you're in the dark and you're hidden away and nobody knows about it and it's difficult. But those are the times when roots are actually going down. So understand that if you can get this parable, you're understanding one of the deepest ways of God. Some people worry about a food shortage in the world. There never needs to be a food shortage in the world. The seed principle. Keep planting seed. You got food everywhere in all the lands and throughout all the earth. And it could feed. There are other reasons that we're not going to go into right now, but that for why there are food shortages. And when people, you know, various things, it gets complicated. But the fact is, Let me say this to you. There's enough seed in all the earth to produce enough food for every mouth on the earth if we could actually get organized and make that happen. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. So I'm gonna just walk my way through this parable. It's a long story, and to read it all will take quite a while, and then we'll just go back through it anyway. So I'm gonna go through it step by step. Listen, this is what Jesus said. Behold, a sower went out to sow. The way you perceive yourself is what you're gonna do. If you are a banker, you're gonna dress up, put your pinstripe suit on or whatever you wear, your shirt, you got your snappy briefcase, and you're off to, you're a banker, you're going out to do banking. You're a real estate salesman, you're a dentist, you put on your cape and you're going out to cause us all pain, you know, like to drill holes. You are a construction worker, you put on your yellow fluoros and you're going to help build something. The way you perceive yourself is the way you dress. It's the equipment you put in your hand, and it's what you go out to do. Jesus is trying to get us to see ourselves as sowers. So this parable is not about what God can do for me. This parable is not about what the world can give me, what I can get. It's not about a self-centered lifestyle at all. It's actually about being other people-centered. So if I see myself as a person who's going to go out and influence other people in this life with seed that I can put in their heart, that's going to be good seed, then I am going to be a sower. A sower went out to sow. If I see myself, I am here on this earth to sow the seed of God's word in other people's lives, whether it works or whether it doesn't, that is what I am called to do. In fact, only one quarter of this seed sowing works. But the sower is not discouraged by the fact that 75% isn't going to actually work. He keeps on sowing the seed anyway. And he's like the messiest farmer on earth, for goodness sake. He's sowing it everywhere, on the pathways, on the rocks, in the thistles and the thorns, and some of it lands on good soil too. Because we just don't know. We just don't know what that seed is going to do eventually in someone's heart. When I was reaching out for God as a 19-year-old, feeling lost and in spiritual trouble, I reached out for God, and I was looking for God in Eastern mystical religions. And as I reached out to God, I said, God, I need to know who you are. I need to know that who God is. And I came to a crisis point where I was really, really needing to know who God was. And I found myself repeating the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The seed of the word of God had been planted in me as a child when I was at school and would pray that prayer in the mornings, but that was the word of God, that was the seed, and at the appropriate moment it surfaced. And it became, to tell you the honest truth, right then I was a little disappointed that God was the God of the Christians, because I wanted some exotic God, I wanted some, you know, like weird guy way out there, but the Christians I knew were not the kind of people I really wanted to be like, but I got convinced right then that God was actually the God of Jesus Christ, that he was the one that came to earth that I knew about. Now, somebody had sown that seed inside me years before when it didn't bear any fruit at all. But years later, that word has an impact. We need to trust the power of the word of God. In verse 4, it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Let me just say this also, that sowing the seed means speaking the word of God. This is not just about saying nice words to people, like, oh, you're okay, you're going to get through it. Somehow, when you speak a scripture, with God, all things are possible. Just to tell a person, do you know the Bible says, with God, all things are possible? Do you know that Romans 8:28, there's a passage, and you don't have to be some, you know, Bible-thumping preacher trying to say, look, here it is in the scripture, read this. It's like, all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the thing. The word of God is called a lot of things. I can give you 100 descriptions of what it is. It's a compass. It's a guide. It's all sorts of different things: food, meat, milk. But I'll just give you two right now. It's called the word of faith, and it's called the word of hope. Paul says, hold forth the word of faith. And then he says, hold forth the word of life. So that's actually three I've given you now. But when you bring life, faith, and hope into people's worlds, and you do it out of a heart that's full of a sense of, I care about you, you'll find that people are way more likely to receive what you've got to say. I don't know if you like watermelon. Anybody here like watermelon? Yeah. Okay. When you eat watermelon, it's hard to eat it without swallowing a few pips, right? I mean, you just swallow them, they go, and that's it. I mean, a peach is a little different, right? You don't really swallow the pip of a peach. But what I am saying to you is that the seed, God has designed that the seed is encased in sweetness. Like you eat an orange and sometimes you just accidentally get one of those things and it goes down, especially with tangerines and mandarins. And you just somehow, I don't know if any of you eat lemons, but you know, the same deal. We try to avoid it, but when it's in a watermelon, you got no chance. And I believe that if we are in the fruit of the Spirit, if we're in the fruit of the Spirit, like love, joy, peace, we're going to find that we can convey the seed of the Word of God way more effectively into people's lives, so they're opening up. They're saying, yeah. If we just bring Scripture and expect people to say, the Scripture all on its own to be there, it's meant to be alive and encased in the sweet fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To know theologically, oh, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, means nothing. To know that means nothing. Love is love. It's a warm-hearted, hospitable, embracing feeling that people feel from God when they see you, when you reach out to them and you actually bring that seed into their life. And so as this person, this sower, is sowing seed, some of it is falling on the wayside, on the pathway. So there's zero growth. In fact, immediately, Jesus explains later on, the birds come and just eat it. They take it away. He calls them demons. He says, devils, come on. And you'll find that the devil is definitely against you allowing the power of that word to travel from your brain, what is it, 40 centimeters or something, down here, to your heart, to your soul, where it has power, because that is where the soil is. The soil is the heart. We may think, and it is called by the translators, the parable of the sower and the seed. But it would be possibly even more correct to call it the parable of the sower and the soil, because the seed has nothing wrong with it at all. The seed is depending on an environment. So it's more about the environment that the seed comes into as to whether or not it's going to actually have an impact, rather than the seed itself. The seed is the word of God. Luke 8:11 says the seed is the word of God. And Peter, later on in this message, I'll get there, talks about it as the incorruptible seed. We are born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. When it actually comes into our lives, it's the soil it's relying on, the condition of our heart. So when this soil lands on the casual hearer, the hard ground that's been trodden over for many years. And that's where, as a long-term Christian, we've got to be careful that we don't go, oh, just, I've heard this before. And we don't allow the word any access in there. We soften our hearts and say, I want to hear this. I want to get this again. I want revival in my spirit. And we allow it to happen. But this seed on the wayside, it has zero growth. It goes nowhere. But then the next one, it actually managed to find some soil, but it had no depth. So we're told it springs up. It doesn't actually go down. It springs up, but the sun kills it. The sun rises, withers it, and it dies. Here's the deal. That sun is meant to make you grow. It's meant to make you grow. When the sun comes out, plants grow if they've got roots. But if they got no roots, they die. they perish. And you will find that when heat comes on you, as a believer, pressure, when pressure comes against you, it will cause you to grow. If you have roots, because you're able to suck moisture up out of that devotional life, when you're in the scripture, or when you're in church, or when you're in worship, or when you're in connect group, or when you're in next step group, or when you're getting taught in Bible college, you are drawing up nourishment into your plant life. And as long as you've got equal amount of nourishment and water inside the plant to equal the level of heat coming from the sun, you will grow. You will keep growing through the pressure. That pressure is not designed to destroy you, friend. It's designed to actually get you growing forward and upwards. All right. Verse 7. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. So this is a third level. The first is zero growth. The second is quick growth, but it dies because of the heat of the sun. Third is that it does manage to grow up, and it gets going. And the plant is there, and it's moving along quite well. As much as plants move along, it's growing along quite well. But there it is. But then, without weeding the weeds around it, and the thistles and the thorns, they're designed to grow up and choke that plant so that it's not going to grow anymore. And so regular weeding out is so important for all of us. I'm a weed puller. Even around here, I can't help myself. I see a weed, I got to go and I got to pull that thing. Now, all of us had a grandmother or a grandfather when we were young, and we'd go out and he'd say, "Hey, come help me pull some of these weeds." And you'd go bonk and you'd pull off. He said, "What are you doing? You don't just pull that weed off like that. You got to get your fingers down around that root and the whole thing comes out." And yesterday I was surprised. I saw a weed in one of our sort of the rocks that are sitting there together. And I thought this will be a tough one. He'll have his roots all around the back of that rock and everything else. So I just gently am pulling, nudging, and phew, out it comes. It's got all these roots. I thought, I got you. But there are some weeds look like real plants. And I got grandchildren and someone say, is that a weed or a plant? Trying to tell the difference. And I'm going, yeah, I got to think about this myself. But I can actually tell generally by giving it a little tug, like pulling on that plant. And a plant always feels firmer, and the weed tends to come out easier. Well, I'm no green thumb, believe me. But there's such a good feeling, isn't there, when you weed out your garden and you got this big bunch of weeds and you throw them in the green bin and can't wait to get rid of them. Weeds grow up in our lives, stealing our time, stealing our energy, trying to choke the power of the Word. And if we've lost that love for the Word because Netflix is choking it out or something else. Sorry. Did I say that? I didn't say that, did I? But go the Springboks. Yeah, right. Yeah. Sorry, Brits. We just got to watch those things that are going to try and choke the life of God growing in our lives and maybe just trimming down some of those things that can come in there. And then we come on verse 8, to the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, 60, some 100. And he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And so the fact is that eventually, he says, there is soil that is going to produce really good plants and good fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. And different plants produce different levels of fruitfulness. Obviously, the greatest goal is to be a 100-fold fruitful disciple of Jesus. In John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So he is anticipating that not all of our prayers are going to be for ourselves, but actually all of our prayers are going to be somehow centered around reaching out to other people. And this last week, we said, let's pray for all the men in our city who are facing pressures that they feel they are not coping with in this month of November, when that is a highlight for our society to remember. And it is such a sad situation. But one thing I know is that you and I can scatter seed of hope and of faith all week long. Don't be relying on me just to be saying it to you. It's actually you and I going out of here with our job, going to do our job, but seeing ourselves as a sower who's going to actually go out and sow seed. For me, meeting a person for the first time is an important moment. It may be the only time I ever meet them in my entire life, but I could turn that moment into a very meaningful moment if I'm able to speak into their life and prophesy something into their world of the Word of God and just say, listen to me, God forgives all sin. He heals all sicknesses. Nothing is impossible with God, the Bible says. Whatever their situation is, everybody is facing something. Everybody is carrying some burden. Everybody is trying to make their way through difficult circumstances. And to be able to just say to somebody, you know, the light's going to shine in your life. I sent two psalms to a person yesterday as a text message, because they didn't actually have a Bible. So I just sent them Psalm 27 and Psalm 103 as a big long text. I said, read these. It's going to be good for you. And hopefully they'll read it. Maybe I sent too much. Maybe should have just sent two verses. But sometimes once people start reading a thing, they keep reading it. And I know that the power of the Word, and when you hear something positive, I mean, even a positive word is good, but Scripture is even better. I grew up in a home where, and in an age, I guess, when that really wasn't the way parents spoke to their children. Oh, you're an amazing kid. You know, you're incredible. Let me take 53 photos of you today. You know, and I think I can find maybe three or four photos of me when I was a kid. I mean, and the rest are in the school sort of picture. And it's hard for me to remember. God bless my parents, you know. I mean, but and it just wasn't the way of any parent. So it was like, you're doing all right. Yeah. And that was, you know, dads and sons and all of that. But these days it's a lot more encouraging. And the idea of a self-image, strengthening your kid's self-image is a lot more stronger and popular than it was in the 50s. And so, yes, I know that's a long time ago. It didn't even seem like a long time. When I said 50s, I had pictures of dinosaurs. it's but you know, I can't remember too many of the conversations that we had, but I do remember one day when I kicked a ball out on the road and I ran out to go get it, and I felt my stepmother's hand on my collar and holding me back, because I was just about to run out and, you know, cars around and stuff. And she said, we can always get another ball, but we can't get another you. And here I am, 67 years old, still thinking about that, for goodness sake. Still remembering that little word, like when I was maybe 10 or whatever. That the power of one positive word that you can say as a sower of seed into people's lives, not just banging scripture and trying to get people to follow Jesus and everything else, but actually loving people and sowing into their lives the seed of the Word of God. You have more power in that word than in any other piece of equipment that you've got in your hand. We know Scripture, we should share it and sow it like seed in people's lives. The way that you're going to, just let me come back into your world. The way that you're going to bear any kind of fruit, any kind of tree, any kind of plant in your own life, is to plant the seed. If I want an apple tree, I don't plant a carrot seed. I plant an apple seed. And so if I want an area of my life to be transformed, I read the scripture and get that scripture to go down into my life so that it's going to grow that. And if I'm feeling like I need confidence, or if I need to know that I'm forgiven, or if I need to have more faith, or if I need to get more patience in my life. I know I just spoke to everyone in the room right then. Then I read a scripture on patience, and I start to think of myself as that scripture, and I receive it, not just as a piece of knowledge, but I meditate on it. Let patience have a perfect work, so that you might be complete and entire, lacking in nothing, James says. There are so many scriptures about things like this. And patience is about coping with life, your ability to cope. And if I'm not coping, then let me meditate on that scripture. Do it for an entire week. Study it and let it get inside of me. And it's going to grow whatever seed I'm planting in my soil. I'm going to grow that in my life. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness, with humility, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Incredible. The power of this word that you've got in your hand, the Bible, exceeds the power of any other words to transform people's lives. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason, that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, how shall I go unless somebody send them? And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world, through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to this week's message from our church. Hope you'll stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram by using @C3 Oxford Falls.